Redskins, your daily Washington Redskins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, every day, every day, every day.
All right, I'm Chris Russell. This is another episode of the Locked On, for now, Redskins, but I don't know what else to call them, podcast. The name is officially going to change, as everybody now knows. As we mentioned on the last episode, it would. What we found out on Monday, in addition to all of the other wreckage and carnage of around this franchise, a complete dumpster fire, if we're being totally honest with you, what we found out on Monday is that officially the nickname and the logo will be retired, as it should have been, as it we've been saying all along. You could not in any way, shape, or form keep the name and the logo and directly tie it to Native Americans and those that were offended. So that's the news of the day. We still don't have an exact timeline. It will be sooner than later. I'm guessing, strong hunch, before training camp, they're going to rush through this and get it done so that they don't have to continue to have corporate sponsors threaten them, so that they can get new merchandise out on the market, and so that their players and the head coach do not have to answer questions about it for more than a couple of days, if not more than a day. The other big news, as we record this, just reported Tuesday morning, Skins wide receiver Kelvin Harmon has torn his ACL and he'll miss, it's believed, the entire season. Ian Rappaport first to report it, been confirmed elsewhere. Kelvin Harmon posted a picture of him inside and on a hospital bed, quite honestly. He has a mask and he has a huge brace on his right leg. And it says, God got me, on his official Twitter. So I have heard the bad news continue. You know, nobody will tell me exactly what it is, if I'm being totally transparent. But I've heard all along, over the last couple of days, that there's more and more and more and more bad news coming. And this is another round of it. And I believe by the time this episode publishes, there will be an expose of some sort of disgruntled current and former employees in the Washington Post. There are a lot of people that are still very unhappy with the way the organization has treated them in the past and currently. That's all I'll say. Ron Rivera is trying to clean it up. I know he's working hard. I know he's trying to take out the trash, and there's still some of it left. And I wouldn't be surprised if beyond Richard Mann II, not that he was, and Alex Santos, I'm not saying that, but I do believe those are two separate incidents, or maybe collateral damage on Richard's end. I do believe that there are other people that will be cleaned out of that building this week. That's what I'll say. I do believe that. I don't know that for sure. Timing is kind of one of those things. It's kind of weird, but the bottom line is, that's what I've been led to believe. And I think the bad news just continues to come and come and come and never stops. One last thing before we get to our NFC East Ultimate Division crossover with Patricia Traina of Locked On Giants, and as well Marcus Mosier of Locked On Cowboys, and Gino Camilleri of Locked On Eagles. And today we're actually talking all about the Redskins, and you'll actually hear a part where we talked about the wide receiver group in terms of Kelvin Harmon and his role. Well, now we find out that Kelvin Harmon again tore his ACL. Don't know if it's a full tear or partial tear, but it's probably a full tear. Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports is reporting that when it comes to the Red Wolves trademark fight, which has been talked about and reported, Arkansas State and there's another university that are kind of battling for it. He's reporting that he spoke to one of the parties involved and they have not heard from the NFL, Dan Snyder, or anybody else in the Washington franchise. So that's where that is at this moment. It is looking more and more and more like it will be Warriors. That is currently still tied up. The bottom line is there's just an absolute mess, to deal with. And, you know, again, if everybody thought it was all going to go away when they hired Ron Rivera, that's funny. That's funny. Tried to warn you. Tried to tell you. I mean, I think Ron will clean up a lot of it. I just don't know if he's going to get all of it because that building is just has always been and always probably will be a cyclone of disaster. All right. The ultimate NFC East crossover edition coming up next with my roundtable partners around the NFC East. We'll concentrate on the Redskins or whatever they're called. Offense and defense. Next.
Welcome, everybody, to the ultimate NFC East crossover program. My name is Patricia Traina, and I am the host of Locked On Giants, and I am joined by my colleagues of the NFC East. We have Marcus Mosier of Locked On Dallas, Gino Camilleri of Locked On Eagles, and Chris Russell of Locked On, the team to be named later. So, Locked On Redskins currently, but that name obviously is no longer, it's been retired. So, welcome, gentlemen, and hope everybody's doing well.
Thank you, Patricia. I'm, you know, I've probably slept about 11 hours since the end of last football season. I'm sure you guys have slept a little bit more than me. Hope everybody's having as good of a summer as you possibly can.
Absolutely. And today what we're going to do is we are going to put Chris on the hot seat. We're going to have we all have questions, Chris, that we want to know about the team formerly known as I won't say the name here, but the Washington Football Club. We'll call it that until they have a new name. So I'll kick it off if I could. Chris, just give us an overview of what this whole process has been with the name change and, you know, the rumors for weeks. Now it finally has come to fruition. Training camp is supposed to start next week and, you know, they don't have an identity. How do you think that's going to affect this team?
Well, I do think it's likely that they will have a name identity by the time training camp is scheduled to begin on July 28th. And that is the understanding of the organization right now, that while it can be pushed back, it is still all systems go, at least right now, planned for July 28th. So that, you know, is roughly 2 weeks away. And I think today, I think Monday's announcement, you know, which officially confirmed what we all knew right from the get-go, that they were going to change the name. We weren't sure exactly about the logo, but that they're going to do both, is an important step, but it's clearly not the final step. And I would expect, again, I don't know for sure because it is a very difficult process with trademark protection, registration, copyrights. I would expect that they are going to have a new name in the next 2 weeks and before they go to camp, because I know one thing. I don't know a lot of things, but I know one thing. Ron Rivera did not sign up to be the head coach, president, general manager, assistant general manager, executive vice president, and a complete voice of the franchise to take every bullet that can possibly be thrown at him by everyone in the media, nationally and locally, about what the name is going to be and why they made the decision. And that's not just they're just not going to allow that, in my opinion, and based on other people's opinion, not only for Ron Rivera, but for the players. So that's the biggest thing right now, is getting this done in time so that they don't have to answer, you know, a million questions every day. And finally, hopefully, they can just concentrate on football.
Hey, Chris, it's Marcus Mosier here from Locked On Cowboys. I'm going to ask you an actual football question. I'm sure that we probably haven't talked about that in a long time.
No, I love football, Marcus. I hate the name game. I love football.
All right, yeah, let's go ahead and do this. I want to talk about Washington's offensive line because it's fascinating to me. Gone is Trent Williams, who you guys obviously traded away this offseason. I'm curious about the left tackle spot. Washington drafted Shadeek Charles in this year's draft. Cornelius Lucas is somebody that you brought in from Chicago. What is the status of the offensive line, especially that left tackle spot going into the 2020 season?
Well, sure. We'll start there. And one name you didn't bring up, and it's for good reason, because he struggled in his first 2 years and really, really, really needs to wake up and find his way, as Jaron Christian, the former third-round pick out of Louisville a couple of years ago. He's been a disappointment so far. You know, as he kind of learns his craft and tries to get stronger and tries to get a better anchor and all that good stuff. You mentioned Cornelius Lucas. Certainly, he is a, you know, veteran cheap signing, two-year deal, not a lot of money. He's mostly a right tackle, though. That's what he's mostly played since 2014. Very, very, very limited snaps. I would say that, you know, if you're going to the betting window, I would think and say that, you know, by, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 weeks into the season, my guess would be that Sadiq Charles is their left tackle. You mentioned the fourth-round pick out of LSU. You know, all sorts of athleticism. Just a, you know, just an absolute maniac when it comes to getting out in space and just using his quick feet and all that good stuff to and his athleticism to work that left tackle position. And that's just my guess, as long as he watches his P's and Q's, because we all know that, you know, he ran afoul with Ed Orgeron and LSU. So assuming that that happened, that's what I see 4, 5, 6 weeks into the season, that Sadiq Charles is the left tackle. Again, that's partially because Christian hasn't developed yet, unless he has a sudden surge. And again, Cornelius Lucas is more right tackle than a left tackle. And quite honestly, they might need help at that right tackle position too, because, you know, Morgan Moses under a big contract, you know, he plays a lot. He just gets hurt and banged up a lot, and he's at times very ineffective. And then if you just look at the whole situation, you know, teams obviously need to protect the left and right side. I mean, it's no longer a just protect the blind side of your quarterback type of league. And Dwayne Haskins has had trouble getting rid of the football at times and anticipating throws. So it is of utmost importance that they protect better on the edge, which, you know, is a huge question mark, again, at both tackle positions in my eyes.
Hey, Chris, it's Gino Camilleri from the Locked On Eagles podcast here. One position group that I look at on Washington that absolutely, I would say, fascinates me is the running back room right now. And yeah. I think it's just fitting that we continue on talking about, we were just talking about offensive line. What do you think is going to happen back there? Because to me, I know Marcus was as well, a huge Antonio Gibson fan coming out of Memphis. I could absolutely see him being a guy that they love in that offense. He can really do a bit of everything at wide receiver and back. You have Adrian Peterson, Adarius Geis, who when healthy should live up to his hype. And then you have Bryce Love and Peyton Barber and J.D. McKissic and just this collection of all these guys that could be fourth running backs. What do you really see going on with this room? Because to me, it's an absolute spectacle of names that are back there right now.
Yeah, it's a great question, Gino. I mean, and it's a good breakdown too. And I'm with you guys, both you and Marcus, on in terms of Antonio Gibson and what he can potentially bring. I think he'll be limited to some degree in, say, his rookie year as a natural running back, meaning, you know, they're not going to line him up behind Dwayne Haskins, you know, out of whatever formation and have him carry 15, 18, 17 times. That's not going to happen because he's very raw in that area. But we all know he's got size, speed. I asked him right after he was drafted, I said, hey, the thing that jumped out to me, on tape is you don't go down. People can have a hard time tackling. He goes, look, if they try and tackle me by my legs, or I should say by my upper body, by my shoulders, I'm going to rip right through it. So that's one thing on him. I think he's going to be absolutely used. I think he'll be a versatile switchblade type of weapon, you know, lined up in the slot, lined up outside, lined up in multiple running back sets with either Darius Geis, Adrian Peterson, or you mentioned the other assortment of riches, which sounds weird, right? For a bad Redskins offense, they kind of have an assortment of riches at the running back position. You mentioned Peterson. I mean, look, he's 35 years old, but he's a future Hall of Famer. Darius Geis is the X factor. If Darius Geis can stay on the field for more than three games, guys, that's your bell cow. That's your number one running back. That's their most explosive weapon. The problem is he hasn't been able to in 2 weeks. And then you mentioned McKissic. I'm really intrigued, based on what I've seen on tape, how Seattle and Detroit used him again, versatile guys, some speed, some sneaky speed. You can use him a lot of different ways, and I'm really interested to see how much better they are on third down, which they have struggled miserably on third down and in the red zone with McKissick a part of this team, as opposed to Chris Thompson, who, while explosive at times, just wasn't able to stay healthy and stay on the field. And I think that's going to be a big upgrade for the Washington NFL offense.
You're listening to the ultimate NFC East crossover show. We are putting Chris Russell of Locked On Redskins on the hot seat. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, folks, we're going to have another round of questions for Chris. So do stay with us. Welcome back, everybody, to the ultimate NFC East podcast. My name is Patricia Traina, and I'm joined by Marcus Mosier of Locked On Cowboys, Gino Camilleri of Locked On Eagles, and on the hot seat we have Chris Russell of Locked On Redskins. It is all about the Washington Football Club on today's show. We hope you are enjoying the ultimate NFC East crossover show. And Chris, I want to swing over and ask you about the defense. Now, to me, the way I see it, the Washington defensive front is just loaded. It is absolutely stacked. I think you have something like 4 or 5 first round picks, but the back end of that defense is a little, I think, shaky when you look at it. I'm just wondering, how do you see the two kind of balancing each other out and helping each other out?
Well, you know, Patricia, I mean, you'll remember this, and Gino will remember this too, and Marcus, you studied the entire league, so I know you'll remember this as well. I don't mean to exclude anybody, but, you know, I keep going back to how the Giants last won their Super Bowl. Yeah, sure, some great catches, Eli Manning, all that, but that NASCAR package where they rotated in 6-7 guys and kept them fresh and kicked defensive ends in the 4-3 inside and protected a somewhat suspect secondary in corners, way back when in, 2011, 2012, and how the Eagles kept their pass rushers fresh when they won, the Super Bowl just a couple of years ago. Again, 6, 7, 8 guys. That's what I see out of the Washington defense and the defensive line. You know, they were already strong there with Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne and Matt Ioannidis, although those guys wore down as the season went along. Then you now throw in second-year Montez Sweat, a first-round pick who's now – who started to come on late last year. Ryan Kerrigan off of his worst year and off of his first time with injuries and going into the final year of his contract, but he kicks down to a 4-3 end, and I think they can use him inside and closer shaded to the football more than he's ever been used in this formation because of the talent and the riches they have. And oh, by the way, did I mention they have Chase Young, the number 2 overall pick? You know, and look, I mean, what else can you say about the kid? He hasn't played a single down, but I mean, I'd be stunned if he isn't really good at the start and probably a perennial Pro Bowl, maybe All Pro, and the Reds, the Washington team has not had enough of those, I can tell you that much. I'll just give you a quick aside. Scott McLuhan, the former Washington, Seattle, and San Francisco general manager, told me right before the draft that his comparison, you hear Julius Peppers, you hear, all sorts of other, was Reggie White. And what he meant by that was, look, he's got a long way to go to prove that, but in terms of body type and what he can fill out to, about 275 and still having speed and athleticism, but more that he can be a 4-3 base end and he can play every single down and you don't have to just hide him as a third down nickel pass rusher or a second and long pass rusher. So to me, if he's everything that everyone, including the experts and the scouts and the people that do this for a living tell me he is, and everything my eyes see, I mean, I think it's going to be a game changer, and that's how they're going to cover up a suspect secondary with better pass rush, more depth, and more fresh legs, which they have not had, especially in the second half of games and the second half of seasons in recent years.
Hey, Chris, I want to jump back to the offensive side of the ball for a second. I want to talk about the receivers. That's a position that that obviously I care a lot about. Terry McLaurin was fantastic last year for Washington. But the hunt for the number 2 receiver kind of is on in Washington. I don't think Steven Sims is somebody who got enough credit last year. I know that he had a big, last 4 games of the season catching a touchdown. Yep. I think 4 touchdowns over the last 4 games of the year. Talk to us a little bit about the receiving core after Terry McLaurin. Who's expected to start opposite him? Who's going to play in the slot? and how you expect that wide receiver unit to be this year.
Yeah, I think the slot is absolutely going to be Sims. I don't think that's really much in question, barring an injury or a dramatic drop-off. So I think I feel pretty comfortable there. I don't know the other corresponding position to Terry McLaurin at this point, because it could be, you know, last year's sixth-round pick, Kelvin Harmon, who, again, came on in the second half of the season last year and really steadily improved and is a big body and can make some tough catches, you know, but isn't the most fast and explosive and twitchy guy. Or it could be the rookie fourth-round pick out of Liberty, Antonio Gandy-Golden, who I think is a better version of Kelvin Harmon. Or I guess it could be former Giant Cody Latimer, but he's got a little bit of a, he's got a little bit of a legal hot water type situation, so I'm not counting on him, but he's clearly the he's clearly the veteran receiver that they were looking for. Remember, this is an organization, guys, that tried to spend a boatload of money on Amari Cooper, and I thought that would have been too over-aggressive, if we're being honest. You know, but right now they do have that question mark, as we just said, and there's other guys that could factor in, I suppose, to the mix if they have a really good camper preseason or whatever we're going to be doing here. But I would think it's probably going to be Harmon week one, along with Sims and McLaurin, with Gandy Golden right on their tail.
Any hope for Trey Quinn?
I don't see a lot of great hope there. Maybe if he has a great camp and he can stay healthy, which he has not been able to do in his first 2 years in the NFL. And then if he can really pop as a punt returner, because that's, I think, his best shot and probably his only shot, the former Mr. Irrelevant, of staying on this team, quite honestly. I mean, I don't mean to cut anybody out. Of course, injuries and weird things can happen. But I would say he's definitely behind the eight ball, which probably isn't surprising that a guy who was the last pick in the draft 2 years ago is on the fringe for a roster spot.
Hey, Chris, I'm going to switch it back to the defense here, and I could not ask you this question about what is going on in the secondary, because I know what's going to happen at two of the cornerback spots, but I want to know who's going to be on the outside on the other side, because I'm pretty sure that Kendall Fuller should supplant himself again as a starter. Jimmy Moreland, to me, he was one of my favorites in that class, really excelled at the Shrine Bowl and then in the Senior Bowl as well when they called him up. But to me, how terrified are you of seeing DeSean Jackson come back to FedEx Field and run a double move on Ronald Darby on the other side of the ball? I'm serious. I would love to see Fabian Moreau on the other side. I think he has a little more pep in his step, but to me, it's just a conundrum what you guys are going to do there, and I'm really interested to hear what you have to say.
So it's a great question. I mean, you know, like, I'll just start with this. First of all, Fabian was terrible inside in the slot last year, and really improved. I don't want to say he was great, but he really improved as they benched Josh Norman, as they finally made the decision to do that, which they should have done 2 years ago. But as Fabian played on the outside, I think he got a lot better. Jimmy Moreland, you're right, had a, you know, I would say an inconsistent rookie year, but certainly flashed. I know Landon Collins thinks he's going to be a breakout star and then some. I don't know if I would go there, but I think Jimmy has definitely potential, and I think they like him a little bit better on the outside as opposed to the inside as well. And then Darby, you know, what I can't figure out about Darby is, has he completely lost a step, or because of all the injuries, or was last year just that recovery year, and he was always right there in the neighborhood, right there, but couldn't quite close or couldn't quite make the play against more explosive, taller, bigger, faster receivers. So I'm going to probably lean towards, you know what, he's going to have to show me he's back before I believe he's back. But I think there's at least the potential that Ronald Darby could have used last year as kind of, again, a recovery rehab year, and then maybe takes a step closer to what he was in Buffalo, or maybe early on in Philadelphia, here. And you know, guys, look, clearly it's the weakness of their defense. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, Kendall Fuller, you know, of course he can play outside, he can play inside, he can play free safety, he can do everything. But the plan there is for him to start inside the slot and to have him, you know, I mean, to have him be a roving type guy. But that's the plan, to have him inside primarily. And I do think that's a huge upgrade from, again, what the Redskins were dealing with last year in that particular area. And I also think they got a big upgrade at free safety if Sean Davis is healthy, because his arrow was on the way up in Pittsburgh 2 years ago before a shoulder injury last year, and he is an enormous upgrade, in my opinion, over Monte Nicholson, who found himself in TMZ more than he did in the box score, you know? So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the bottom line. The Washington secondary is better than it was last year, but I would still identify it as definitely suspect, and you want to call it a weakness, you know, I think that's more than fair.
All right, folks, you have been listening to the Ultimate NFC East Crossover Show with Marcus Mosier of Locked On Cowboys, Gino Camilleri of Locked On Eagles, myself, Patricia Traina of Locked On Giants, and Chris Russell of Locked On Redskins. And that's going to do it for this edition of the Ultimate NFC East Crossover Show. Tomorrow, I go on the hot seat with the questions for the Giants. So look forward to bringing that to you. For Marcus, Gino, and Chris, this is Patricia Traina. Enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, and that is going to do it for the Ultimate Division Crossover, at least on this particular edition. Coming up throughout the week and the rest of the week, we will take a look at the New York Giants, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Philadelphia Eagles in roundtable fashion right here on the Ultimate Division Crossover. And again, continue to provide you the nonstop breaking news about the Redskins, who have simply just dominated, for all the wrong reasons, every single headline for the last month that there possibly could be in the NFL. I'm Chris Russell. Adios.